Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your presence, Lord. Your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. You know you don't have to figure your own problems out. You know that, right? You don't have to heal yourself. James chapter 4 and verse 13. We only have one life to live. That's it. You don't get 10 tries at it, as some think that believe in reincarnation. You don't get a lot of chances. You get one. We only have so much time. And when it's over, it's over. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Most of us have asked ourselves that question a time or two. What is my life worth? What is my life? Well, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. There's only so much time we are given, and compared to the eternal timeline of God, it's as if you're outside and it's a certain temperature and you can see your breath, you breathe out and the vapor, the mist that causes your warm breath to meet cold air, it creates something that you can see. He says, in the span of all time, that's your life. Don't waste it. Don't mess around. Don't think that someday I will live for Jesus. But right now I have a lot of other things to do. Maybe you think you're young and you've got lots of other adventures to take place. Maybe, Pastor, what you're saying, that's for older people that have lived most of their lives already. And you may be right about that. Some people say, you know, your church is pretty much an old person's church. You want old people in your church. I'll tell you why. Because they figured out that is the best way to live. You young whippersnappers that don't think church, you don't need to be in church all that much. Your kids don't need to be in church that much. You are missing it. Let some of the white hairs tell you about how valuable it is to be in the presence of God with other believers. We do not know when the sands of time will run out on our lives. I know it's a bit morbid, but it's true. None of us holds tomorrow in our hands. Most of the people that will pass away today had not planned on it. They had no expectation that death would come knocking on their door and they would breathe their last. To many, it will be a great surprise. What am I saying? What am I driving? I'm not going to preach, I don't think, all that long. I might talk a long time, but I'll only preach a little while. What am I driving at anyways? I'm saying, listen, I am not a salesman. Preachers should not be salesmen. We give the gospel out, let the Holy Spirit do the work. I've heard a lot of salesmen preach, and they're good at it, and that's all right. But it only lasts as long as the spiel lasts. But to tell you the truth, you know, the salesmen always say, well, this deal is only for today. You need to buy it now, tomorrow, the regular price. The sale's over, and tomorrow will be a regular price. And so you have that's called, I guess in salesman talk, it's calling creating a sense of urgency. That they need to do this, and they need to do it right now. And I'm not a salesman, but what I am saying is whatever you're going to do with your life, get busy. Because you don't know. We have a double we don't know. We don't know, first, when our life here will be over. Secondly, we don't know when the trumpet will sound, and it'll be over for all of us. Whatever we have to do, we need to do now. I've talked to people who say, well, I feel like the Lord's called me into ministry, but I'm going to wait until I retire. Get busy. And listen, don't tell me about Arthuritis. And I can't do things because of Arthur. Moses didn't get his start until he was 80 years old. No excuses accepted. The hour is late, and Jesus will soon appear, and then it will be too late. Telling your neighbor about Jesus would be too late. We've been accused, my kind, have been accused of scaring people with that thought that Jesus could appear any time, and he's only coming to get those that are really saved and serving him, and they say that's a scare factor, and it hasn't happened yet, and all of those kind of things, and scaring people don't win them to the Lord, and the love of God wins them to the Lord. But let me tell you, a little fear will give you a little motivation. But we are expecting the coming of Jesus. If you're right with him, if you're not, it says all the nations will mourn because of him. I didn't fashion this sermon so I'd have something to talk about today. I said, the Holy Spirit's on me. And it's like, Lord, you know my congregation. We've got a lot of mature Christians in our congregation. I don't know if they need to hear this. And you know what he said? Shut up and do what I tell you to do. Not your business. It's mine. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, comma, but after this, the judgment. Just this morning on devotions, I was talking about God never forgets anything. Remember when Saul got in trouble? He was supposed to go wipe out some Ammonites, I think, or whatever. Do you know why God told him to go do that? Because hundreds of years earlier, they had dissed the Israelites that came out of Egypt. God forgets nothing. Say amen. Thank you, Debbie. I can move on. Nothing slips his mind. Nothing is, his sight is never occluded. He always sees everything. Right down to the center of people's beings. And he never forgets. That's why we are told to let the Lord have vengeance, because he never forgets. And it's useless for you and I to seek vengeance, because he knows everything. You just give it to him. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Now, there were some preachers that scared me, because they would say, like, you see this screen up here? You'll be standing in front of a host of people, and they're going to play your life out on that screen. How do you like that? Well, I don't know about the girls, but the boys all got nervous. We had done things to cats that we shouldn't have. My brother, not me. I watched, but there was just so many things that you would not want on a screen in front of everybody. Now, we're still kind of hoping that that's not true, but there is judgment. Paul said to the Corinthians, every one of us will be judged by what we do with our body, whether it be good or evil. But verse 28, thank you, Jesus, for verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them, listen, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It means those that are looking for him. Peter says it will purify your life if you're looking for Jesus. You will keep your accounts in order if you're looking for Jesus. This is the wonderful thing about the imminent return of Jesus Christ, is we have to keep our books up. Because we don't know when he's coming. Before today's over. I keep looking up to the north and see those huge billowing clouds, and I wonder, are you coming in them today? But for those that are looking for him and are under the blood of Jesus, he comes for them without sin. The only thing God forgets is the sin that is under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing he forgets. God himself keeps records. You read your scripture. Every one of us has books in heaven. Did you know that? Your books of your life are there. Don't think God doesn't know what's going on in your life. Good, bad, or indifferent. Don't think he don't know. He knows. He's going to take care of you. Make sure your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what other preachers say. I stand here like a rock beside Paul. And he said, listen, I don't care if the angels of heaven come to you with some other gospel. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. And I'm telling you, listen to me. Get your records tight. Get yourself right with God and get right with him today. Our world that we live in is a big pile of confusion. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? It's a huge pile of confusion. And confusion seems to grow exponentially. As fast as technology grows, confusion grows. And till we're down to the most basic thing in every society. In every society, the most basic thing is whether you're a boy or a girl at birth. It's the most basic. What is it? Everybody wants to know, what is it? Well, we haven't decided yet. No, I didn't ask you about the name. I said, what is it? Any respectable doctor or nurse will tell you what it is if you're afraid to look. But confusion has invaded our society. Who created the word non-binary? That's a technical term. It has to do with math and stuff like that. We are confused about the most basic things in life. This, my friend, is the work of the devil. He loves confusion. He loves when there's confusion in your family. Let me tell you what the devil hates. He hates commandments. He wants everything to be relative. He wants to be able to judge things through how you feel. He hates commandments. He wants everything to be a little grayish. He hates black and white. He wants everything to be a certain shade of gray, so it will create confusion in the mind of a person so they don't know which way to go. He hates commandments. We have blurred the lines so badly between righteousness and wickedness. So much so that the prophecy of Isaiah comes to pass, where they call the good evil and the evil good. So much so that there's a particular candidate running for president today, and at the top of the list, it's called abortion rights. Many of the commercials for this particular candidate has young ladies saying, "Listen, what about us? You've forgotten about us. We need abortion." No, you need a mother to slap you and teach you how to keep your legs crossed. Oh, I said that out loud. All right. Hormones are something, aren't they? They come and go at their leisure. They come strongly when you're young and stupid. And then they leave you when you need them most. Men, you understand that the hormones that women have young, earlier in their life help them to be nice. And suddenly when you retire, and now you're together a lot more, those hormones have fled the scene. And now they care about things that you never thought they cared about. They care about how you chew. They care about whether you move your foot. They care about a lot of things they never cared about before because these beautiful hormones have vacated. God likes a good laugh on the men too. He sucks all the testosterone. The older you get, he keeps sucking the testosterone. I don't eat any more than I ever did, yet it stays with me. We're a mess. In spite of all of those things, we've got a Jesus to serve. And we're not going to get it backwards. We still know what righteousness is, and we still know what wickedness is. But I promise you what Jesus said, that in the, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall return. Do you want to take time and look what it was like in the days of Noah? God thought so much of them that He wiped them off the face of the earth. He said they thought nothing except some new imagination of evil. Welcome home. And you're not concerned whether Jesus is going to come again? In our culture, the devil, in everybody's culture, not just United States, but this is where we live, the devil wants to make nothing right or wrong. He just wants to make it relevant. That's why you purport the foolish theory of evolution, because it takes morality out of the game. If you're just a product of an amoeba, if you're just a product of a fish that grew legs, if you're just a product of an ape, there's no rhyme or reason to righteousness or wickedness. You have no choice. It's just instinct what you do. That's the devil's purpose for all of this thing. Everything just becomes relevant. But somebody in these last days is going to have to stand up and declare what God says. Because God never changed His mind. He knew what was righteous in the Garden of Eden. And when He found that Adam and Eve weren't righteous anymore, He had to kick them out. He knows righteousness from unrighteousness. He knows, and He still knows it today. And it doesn't matter how society mocks you. It doesn't matter how many television shows, how many news people say, you right-wing Christians, you horrible people, you're the terrorists, not the people that come here illegally and come to destroy our society. They're the good people. You're the bad people. You people that go to North Valley Assembly of God, you're just nothing but a bunch of terrorists. And you're making everything bad in this country. That's what they're saying. It doesn't matter. God has not changed His mind. Proverbs 16:25 says this. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of ways unto men. A lot of different ways that they all end in death. That's not how we live successfully, just because you think it's right in your mind. Can you imagine growing up in a home, and you don't have to imagine very hard these days, where the children run it? You know, they go grocery shopping, you go down two aisles, the cookie aisle and the candy aisle. It's kind of like going shopping with Deb. I'm just almost kidding. Sadly today, and I won't use a bunch of time, but sadly today, listen, do not let the children run the home. I don't care what psycho person this and that says. You don't let the children, no. You don't let them decide whether they're a boy or girl. You don't decide what clothes they put on. They don't decide where they go to school. They don't decide where they go to church. You, God has given you, Mr. and Mrs., He has given you the authority to do that. There is a correct way. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah 30:21, it says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, you'll know the way. This is the way." You hear the words of those that have gone on before. This is the way. Walk ye. You hear the words of the elders say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You hear the words of the apostles say, this is the way. Walk in the way. Walk in the way that Jesus has designed for you. The elders have gone on before us. Many have gone to glory. But the record shows that they knew what way to walk and walk in it. One of the tragedies of the modern church is how we treat the elders. No one has treated them worse. Not the movie, the nasty, evil, filthy movie world treats their elders better than the church treats their elders. The mostly satanic music world honors their elders more than the church does. We have shoved the elders away. But they're the ones that know the way to walk in it. They have their gray hair in church because they're still walking in the way. Instead of making a place of honor for them, I know there's still people and all that, but we need to honor, what I mean by elders, dead and alive, dead to us and alive, the elders that have gone on before us, we have got to respect them. And this is what turns my stomach about the modern church. Somebody came along that was supposedly smarter than everybody, took a great big basket and threw it all away. We have to do church in the 21st century this way or we won't reach the people. I've got news for you. You might have reached them, but you didn't reach them for Jesus. There is a way that the elders have taught us to walk. It's the way of righteousness, and it's behind us, and it's telling us time and time again, get in the way you're supposed to walk. Scott, it might not always feel good. It won't always give you a tickle up your leg. But it's the way that Jesus would have you to walk. You may have to stop doing some things to walk in this way. You might have to start doing some other things to walk in the way. But this is the way. Walk in it. Though the world reject you, walk in the way that Jesus has for you. Walk the way of the apostles and the disciples of old. Walk in the way of our forefathers. Many of our people like me have generations of people that learned how to walk in the way. I have no right nor reason to walk out of it. Your backslidden children have no reason to walk away from the way that they are supposed to. They need to stop and listen to the voice behind them and say, hey, here is the way. Walk ye in it. I'm so tired of yellow backbone preachers that won't tell the truth anymore because they want a few more people in their church or they want a few more dimes in their offering. It doesn't matter. We've got to preach the right way and tell people to walk in it. It doesn't always make you feel good. It might offend some. So what? We've got one way because there's only one way that reaches to glory. Every other way of man reaches to death and hell, but there's one way that'll get you to glory, and this is the way that we are to walk in it. Though the world reject you, walk in the way. Though your family mocks you, walk in it. Though you lose your social standing or even your job, walk in this way. The elders have shown us that it's worth walking in the way. What way are you saying? Jesus told us the way in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way. Walk ye in it. I am the life. Walk ye in it. And I am the truth. Walk ye in it. Because no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is, friend, only one way. I'm sorry to all the churches out there. I have a special one on 39th Avenue in Happy Valley on the corner. I don't care if they're affirming and they got their little rainbow colors up and everybody's accepted here and affirmed here. Baloney. There's a way to walk in it. You cannot compromise with any sin. You got to be straight with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the trumpet is going to sound and your shoes will be nailed to the floor when Jesus comes if you're not in the way. Only one way, only one path. But let me tell you about this path. Give me just a few more minutes, I'll be done. Let me tell you about this path. It's only wide enough for two. You and Jesus. He'll never have you walk this path alone. You'll never be, I don't care if you feel alone, but you won't be alone. It's just wide enough for you and Jesus. And will not always be easy. There'll be bumps and hills in the way. But it's the same way that Jesus is on. He's taken us somewhere on this path. We're not just sitting at the rest stop. He's got some place for me to go. He wants me to make it all the way to glory. And on this path, there's going to be opportunities to share Jesus with others. There's going to be opportunities, encouragement. There's going to be opportunities to lift those others that are down. And there will be some opportunities of people that are on different paths that you can yell over and say, wrong, get over here. Can't you smell the fire over there? Get over here. Some of them might even listen. I want to be on the same path that Jesus is on. I'm going to walk. I get to walk with Him no matter what happens. No matter who we elect. No matter who we appoint to the Supreme Court. I'm walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. I got one, two, One big question and a secondary question, a follow-up question. Number one question, are you on the way? Are you on the way that you're supposed to walk in it? Are you really on it? Not make believe on it, not make people in church believe that you're on it, but are you in the way that you're supposed to be? Are you the person that Jesus has called you to be? Are you doing what He's asked you to do? Are you being what you're supposed to be? That's the question. Are you on the way? There was a man who had tried most ways of the world to bring happiness. And you know what it brought him? It brought meanness, nastiness, and wildness. He was a rude man. He would step on people to make his way up the ladder. And he didn't stop to see if they were hurt or not. He just stomped them. And on he would go. He had a friend, a good friend of his, who was almost blind. His name was Bill. And Bill asked God to save his friend. And nothing happened. Except his friend got meaner and ruder and just hurt more people. Bill said, "You know, Lord, I understand if you can't save my friend. He's the meanest guy I know. He's done things that I can't even imagine. But what a miracle it would be if you would save him." Over the years, Bill lost most hope that this man would ever come to the Lord. This man had never even given an inkling that he would ever walk away from his life, his wild life, his filthy life. What Bill didn't know is that God was working on his heart. So you don't take what people share with you. Like, "I don't want to hear your Jesus." But it's too late. You've already stuck them. You already stuck them with the gospel. And about 2 years ago, this man had had enough of his mean life, his horrible, filthy, mean life. And he began to wonder if there was another way. If this Jesus that Bill talked about was real or not. And one Sunday, this 6'5", 285-pound man walked into a little church where there was a pastor who still believed in the way. He still preached against sin, and he still preached about the mercy and grace of God. If you repent of your sin, God will forgive you of that sin. And he preached something like that morning. You see, that pastor who had preached had just decided a few years before that he didn't want his old way, that he was going to walk in the way that Jesus had for him. And so he was able to relate to this big old fella. And that giant of man, he entered that little church, and they were singing the old way songs. And the Spirit of the living God was there. Let me tell you, the Spirit shows up when He finds people that are following in the way. He sat his big body in that little pew and didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. He just sat there like this. The only telltale sign that he was alive was the streaks down his cheeks. And he weeped for the first time in many, many years. And I'm not talking about a tear trickling. It was a steady flow of tears running down this man as the Spirit of God began to deal with him about his life. When that pastor who still believed in altar calls asked people to get right with Jesus, that was the first time Brad had moved during the entire service. And he got up that big frame of his. He got up out of that pew and he came to that altar. And in front of everyone, he made his way to the way. He repented of his sins. He asked the blood of Jesus to make him clean. All through a flood of tears. Pastor Matt, my son, prayed with him that day. And this man started to walk in the way. He left all the other ways he had ever known, and he began to walk the path with Jesus. His friend Bill was in shock. He was amazed at what had taken place. You see, I think we, in the 21st century, I think we get satisfied with a half salvation. Listen, if your salvation doesn't play out in the way you walk, you're not saved yet. I'm all for saying a sinner's prayer. I'm all for it. But listen, if it doesn't change the path you're on, you're not saved. You're not walking in the way that you're to walk in. You'll start. If you get really saved, you'll leave all the old paths and get on the one path that leads to glory. Brad got on the good path. He stayed on it. Every time the doors of Gates Assembly were open, there was at least two people there, Matt and Brad. Every time. Deb and I visited there several times. He never missed a service when we were there. And Brad, he's not loud. But any time during the service, song service, preaching, he'd sit there. Here's the tears keep streaming down his big old face because he still knew that Jesus had saved him and set him free. And this week, Brad quite suddenly was taken to his reward. He went to be with Jesus because he was walking in the way. He didn't fear death. He just walked up to the streets of glory. He passed from this life into the arms of Jesus. Brad, let me tell you something about Brad. He's still walking in the way. It just happens to be on gold streets right now. He won the victory of those that walk in the way, that forsake all the junk of this world and walk in the way that has proven to lead to life. It doesn't matter what come, Tim, please. It doesn't matter what it costs here. Let me say it again. It doesn't matter what it will cost you to serve Jesus here. Follow Him, because His path is a forever path. His way is a forever way. His righteousness is forever. His goodness is forever. His mercy is forever. His grace is forever. His reward to His children is forever. So I ask us this morning, in a church where I wouldn't think I would need to even preach this message. But listen, I'm not God. And I can't see past your clothes. And I can't see past your face. I can't see into your mind. I can't see into your soul. But God can. Are you in the way? Or are you still dancing with other ways? The elders are behind you. And they're saying, here's the way. Walk in it. I have no level of expectation here. But I would be totally remiss to preach a message and not give somebody the ability to respond. I could care less about your reputation. I could care less what people think of you. Today, I only care, are you in the way? It's the only thing that counts. It's the only thing I said, it's the only thing that counts. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart this morning. He says, tell them it's the only thing that counts in their life. Are you in the way that you're supposed to be? Let nobody here worry about somebody else right now. Let us be very introspective. Let's look at ourselves. And if you ask yourself the question, am I walking in the way that Jesus has for me? And if your answer to yourself is not really, or no, or sometimes, the Holy Spirit has designed this moment for you, that you could get fully on the way, not on the side of it, not close to the way, but in the way. And this morning, if you're here and you've asked yourself that question, and if you can't say undoubtedly, yes, I am in the way, if you cannot say with confidence, I'm walking in the way that I am supposed to be walking in, if you cannot say that with confidence, you need to have a little talk with Jesus. This is the most wonderful thing in the world, that the Lord loves us so much that He'll let us get back in the way real quick. Tim is playing. We're not singing. Tim, just play. This is not to embarrass people. This is to step on the devil's neck. Why we have altar calls is to step on the devil's neck, so that by faith, when we come to this altar, we step on his neck so he can't have his way. It's not to embarrass people. But if that's you this morning, and I know I'm amongst many, many beautiful Christians, but if you're here this morning, you can't answer that question with a resounding yes, I want you to make your way to this altar right now. Please don't worry what other people think of you. It doesn't matter. Are you in the way? It doesn't matter if you're the only one to respond to this. It doesn't matter. What matters is, are you in the way?